multiple people in my family, including my father, are veterans.
Troops that have been to war and now they're back. And
think and be grateful for their service.
Sacrifice, love for their country, just unselfishness.
All that they do for us.
There are some people in this country who take extraordinary steps to provide for the freedom and security. We forget that those people exist.
We know them as the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. They call themselves soldiers, SEALs, Rangers, airmen, sailors, devil dogs, and so much more. We call them fathers, brothers, sons and husbands, mothers, daughters, sisters, and wives. We call them friend and neighbor. These veterans answered the call. Now we answer theirs. They are the best our country has to offer. And we love them. Today, we honor them and we serve them. David Malsby is your host, and he welcomes you to this community of veterans as together we are building the road to hope.
And indeed we are. Welcome in. Glad to have you along. Those of you listening through the magic of KPRC AM 950 AM dial in Houston, Texas, thank you. And those listening through the magic of podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, just look for Road to Hope Radio. There we are, because Ramon is brilliant and generous. There it is. It's all free. I ask you, after you give it a listen, to be sure and share it. You never know with whom it might intersect with their life. Hopefully impact their life in a positive way. Just real quickly, you know, we're coming up on Veterans Day, and I just want to throw something out there, I guess, really, for people to think about. I know it's Sunday afternoon, you don't want to think, so if you need to re-listen to this as the podcast later on. I would just say it's great that we set aside a day. Absolutely. No questions asked. Mm-hmm. It's something that our nation should do, set aside a day. National recognition. It's kind of like, I don't know, I guess you could compare it to, you know, seasonal things. Like if you may or may not be, for instance, a peppermint fan, but if there was peppermint, whatever, every day of the year, probably wouldn't mean as much as if there was, you know, peppermint at some point in time in a season. So I get that. But I want us to think a minute about the fact that our veterans deserve more than just a day.
I would say so.
Paying attention to and showing honor, showing respect, showing appreciation. I don't mean on some national calendar. I just mean because there's a calendar thing for everything now. National Popcorn Day. I mean, you know, whatever. Which I like popcorn. So
National
no disrespect to popcorn.
Day.
Just saying. Every year, and I'm grateful for this. So again, don't misunderstand. I'm grateful. Every year around Veterans Day, we get more invitations than we can take.
Yeah.
Speaking invitations, opportunities. People want to do this, that, or the other. And again, very grateful. Just throwing the idea out there to consider that more than just Veterans Day might be a good day. Maybe, I don't know, March the 17th or September the 17th or 4th or 8th or February the 2nd, any of those days, and all the days in between, would also be good days to show some respect and appreciation, recognition of our veterans. More than a meal discount, our veterans deserve more than that. On November, whatever Veterans Day falls. Or a free appetizer. If you buy a $20 entree, you get a free appetizer.
You get some free French fries.
Way to show your appreciation to our veterans. I think they deserve more than an occasional news story. When the Pentagon or the VA releases their annual suicide report, and every now and then, you know, a couple of stations, generally not local news, but occasionally you look on Stars and Stripes or some military-related news site, you'll find a story about those reports. Mm. I believe our veterans deserve more than that. I believe they deserve our very best, not our leftovers. I believe our veterans, those that we're talking about, men and women, who nowadays certainly, by and large, our veteran population, they volunteered to put on the uniform, to raise their hand, to take the oath, to go anywhere in the world, face anyone in the world, for the rest of us to get to enjoy what we enjoy, to do the things that we do, to do the business that we do, earn the money that we earn, enjoy the freedoms that we experience, the comforts that we experience here in our country. I think our veterans deserve our best. I think our veterans deserve our willingness to listen and learn. Someone asked me the other day about the Pentagon's report, suicide from 2020 in the military, gone up 35% 2020 over 2019. And they were asking, what should the military do? So, well, one thing they could do is shut up and listen.
Yeah.
How about you talk to the men and women in uniform instead of someone in some office somewhere? How about you just talk to them? Listen. Did a quick search on the interwebs of PTSD in the news. Here it is. This was this morning star Allison Hammond has PTSD over being called elephant. Okay.
What?
Let's see here. Candace Cameron. This is in the news. This is, if you pull it up on the Bing, these are the top stories in PTSD. Candace Cameron Bure says she has PTSD from her time hosting The View. Okay. I'm just saying our veterans deserve our passionate, our intentional, our relentless drive to save and change life trajectories. And that's more than just talking somebody off a ledge. It's daily. It can be frustrating. It is certainly challenging. And it is non-negotiable. That is who we are. That is what we do. That is what we're about. Refusing to hear no. Finding a way. You were talking about, before the show, about having a gun pulled on you, trying to help some guy. We've crawled through windows to get to guys who had gone dark, as we describe it. That's our DNA, Zach.
It is.
Because our veterans deserve that. Yes, it's a much, much easier to sit back, I don't know, couch quarterbacking, however you want to describe it, and find fault with this and find fault with that and who did this right and who did this wrong. And we believe our veterans deserve more. So stick with us. We'll be right back with Road to Hope.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around a bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
You ever been to Folsom Prison, Zachary?
I have not. I've only been to Montgomery County Jail, and that's enough to let me know I never belong in
close
a place
enough.
Like that. Yeah, I don't.
Close enough.
I'm too pretty for jail.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far.
I would. I wasn't even booked. I was in a holding cell. So I was like, this is not a place for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come back.
Well, I'm just guessing if you're that pretty in someone's eyes.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Enough said on that subject. It's good to have Zachary Alexander in the studio with us, United States crayon eating Marine. How you been?
I've been good.
Not in jail.
Been a good week.
So that's good.
Not in jail.
All week long, you haven't been in jail.
I ain't been in jail in years. It's been years, okay? Let's put that out there right now. I've been doing it years.
I'm not
plethora
ask,
of days.
I'm not going to ask Ramon how long.
Plethora of weeks.
It's been years, about 44 years since I've been in jail.
Exactly. Good to see you, sir.
Good to be
been
here.
Been doing all right?
I'm doing fantastic.
How cool things coming in the Houston chapter world of PTSD Foundation?
Yeah, faster than I thought they would. I'm having to scramble to hire people in Fort Bend County because so many people want to help out and do great things for us. So I'm trying to hire some people out there so we can get the ball rolling.
There's much to be done.
A lot to be done.
Much to be done. And thank God for volunteers and donors, and we'll talk a little bit of that as we go throughout the course here. Also in the studio with us right now, we have one of the guys that's currently a resident at Camp Hope, and he answered the question appropriately when Ramon asked before the show what kind of music you listen to. You did well.
Thank you, Pastor.
You want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name's Corey Fullerton, U.S. Army. I'm here at Camp Hope from Atlanta, Georgia, and it's great to be here.
And you're a rapper.
No.
That's what he said earlier.
I was in the identity of a certain stage of my life that I was a rapper because I was from Atlanta, but definitely not a rapper. Wrong identity.
I don't think you're the only one from Atlanta who's had that thought process, though. I mean, it's like football in Texas is what rapping is in Atlanta. It's just what you do.
Yeah.
I identify as a young, handsome multi-billionaire. Does
apparently
it work?
You can
Does
identify as whatever you want these
Does
days.
That work?
Yeah, I mean, identify as an NBA and... player, so where's my contract?
Yeah, I just want my money. That doesn't work?
Mm-mm.
No.
I guess it only works. Never mind, we're not going to go into that.
Okay, so Atlanta, Georgia. You grew up there?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia. I finished middle school and high school in North Georgia in the mountains, a town called Dahlonega.
Did you ever finish middle school, Zach? I was just curious.
Why got to bring up my business like that? Why
just asking. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
No, I got a waiver.
it's actually the site of the first U.S. gold rush. Wasn't in California like everybody thought. It's in the south. It's in Dahlonega, Georgia.
Okay.
Says
fine.
Who?
And first are great. Full recognition for first, but years later they talk about the California gold rush, not the.
Yeah, we all know about California, you know.
Well, I just wonder how much gold there was in Georgia.
Enough that the state capital in Georgia is made of gold from Dahlonega, Georgia. So
the whole thing,
the whole top of it, yes.
What? I didn't
know
that. That's pretty cool. Why hasn't someone
robbed
it yet?
I know where I'm going
if I'm ever hard up.
Take me a little road trip with an axe.
Why are you stealing the roof? Mind your business.
And a pick.
Mind your business.
Take me a piece of that with
Don't
me.
Worry about me. Mind your business.
Okay, so high school was where?
Lumpkin County High School in Dahlonega, Georgia.
So were you a rapper in high school, or what did you do in high school?
I did a lot of things in high school. Some good, a lot
Some that
lot
we can
that
talk about on the radio and some that we can't. Is that what I'm...
Yeah, most definitely.
Sports or anything like that?
Yeah, I wrestled middle school and part of high school. I ran cross country and played soccer. I wrestled the 155 weight class.
Okay. Running is a sin, by the way. I just thought I'd throw that out there. You said cross country, right?
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a sin. But anyway, we'll talk about that next week at church. Okay, so sports, when you were done with high school, decided to join the Army?
Got done with high school, wasn't exactly following God for a little bit, and did some things in my life, and I had a son that was going to be born when I was 19 years old. He was born, I was going down the wrong path, and I decided that the military was a option that I definitely needed to consider, so I didn't keep going down that path.
Okay. So you joined the Army.
Yes, Pastor.
And where'd you go?
I went to basic in Fort Benning, Georgia. I went to AIT in Fort Gordon, Georgia. And then I went to Fort Drum, New York, 10th Mountain Division. Ended up deployed to Crit, Iraq, Camp Spiker, and Balad, Iraq, Camp Anaconda.
What year was that?
2007, 2008.
How long are you there? A year?
15 months.
15. Those earlier years, those, they were longer. Some of them even, you know, 18 months, some of the guys I talked to from those earlier years. Okay, so what were you doing? What was a typical day like in Crete?
Well, it's kind of three different stories of my Iraq career. The first one was training civilians to do my MOS. The second one, we did a lot of helping out with convoys, recovery teams. And then we went to Anaconda. We were in charge of making sure convoys came in safely into Camp Anaconda. So, yeah, it's kind of a tale of three stories. So,
which one was, I wouldn't mind doing that again.
Probably the first story, because I wasn't doing anything at that part.
Paid vacation to Tikrit.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, vacation. There we go.
All right.
Beach with no ocean.
Well, never mind. Get off into Galveston. So I'll get people really mad at me if I go off on that. Okay, so you were there 15 months.
Yes, sir.
Trauma, cause of PTSD in your life. What happened while you were there?
Let's see. It was my deployment was different from the traditional infantry guys. I'll put that out there. Our recovery team, you know, we brought in a lot of vehicles that got blown up. You know, there's a lot of the time you go get a vehicle that's blown up, people have usually got injured or died. So you see a lot of blood, a lot of body parts, right. Not to get too graphic. I think the most traumatic thing I experienced there was in Anaconda. We were 2 weeks to a month from coming home. Guy decided to, from a National Guard unit that came in, we were training, they decided to be high speed, go down a side road. We told him not to. He got hit by an IED and he burned alive. So that was probably the thing that sticks out in my mind the most.
Okay. So today, what's a trigger for you? Or what's a trigger been for you? Sometimes it's a smell, sometimes it's a sound.
I'd say the trigger for me from Iraq, you know, I mean, loud noises, of course, but yelling, you know, like screaming. Because, you know, you have someone that does that, they're going to scream before they hit a point where their body just shuts down. So being out yelling and screaming, you know, I've had to learn how to ground myself with that and not react so much.
Grounding techniques, something we work on and teach all the time around our campus. Website's PTSDUSA.org. We'll be back with more of Corey's story. See if we can get Zach out of the dip here in just a minute. Road to Hope Radio.
Never.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free. We don't make a party out of loving, but we like holding hands and pitching woo.
I like where this is going.
We don't let our hair grow long and shaggy.
Anything going on in the college football world? Like speaking of Okie from Muskogee. San Francisco,
dude. Oh, it's fun to watch the haters. It is always.
Oh, man. People are so mad about it.
Fun to watch.
So mad.
Like, though I have to pass along my congratulations, painful as it is.
Here we go.
To my Aggie friends. Once a decade, they win a game that matters. So they won it last week.
But, I mean, is Oklahoma even ranked?
Oh, look out.
So you got to consider the source.
Does that win actually matter?
I'll see if top three matters.
Who really does the rankings? Like, who really does the rankings?
Not Zachary Alexander.
Not me. I don't pay enough attention to even rank anybody.
Yes, that's why you are not ranked.
I'm ranked in my mind.
Top 10, top 10 list of employees at the PTSD Foundation of America last week. Could not find Zachary. Oh, Zach.
That's because I'm so far above that list that I'm not even on it.
Hmm. Now you sound like an Aggie. big thanks to some folks who help us take care of our veterans that come to us. We're talking with Corey, United States Army, from Atlanta. And we bring veterans in from every era of war.
All of them.
Every military branch. We've had someone representing each of the military branches. We haven't got Space Force yet, though it's pretty new, so I don't know. Maybe we should reach out to TV stars, apparently, because they all have, these morning show types always have PTSD somehow, because maybe you just shouldn't be on the morning shows anymore, if that's how dangerous it is that you're going to be on a television show and walk away with PTSD. Maybe you just, we just can't cancel everything. How about we just cancel morning television shows?
I'd be perfectly okay with that.
I wouldn't notice. Anyway, big thank you to those who support and sponsor our veterans. We like to give out what we call Lifesaver Awards. These are people who, out of the kindness of their heart, just reach into their own wallets and take care of our veterans. One cool thing that happened last week, getting a chance to, I don't know, maybe we did. I haven't slept since then. That's why I don't remember if I talked about it. Fire Disc, our great friends at Fire Disc came out, donated some shoes, gym shorts. They brought out some actual of the Fire Disc cooking things. It's kind of like, I don't know how to describe, they probably would not like it described this way. I kind of talk about it as an outdoor wok.
That's exactly how they describe it.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how it works. And they came out and not only brought the actual cookers, but they actually cooked food for us, which is, here's my deal. The only thing better than food is free food.
Free food.
The only thing better than free food is free food that somebody else cooked for you. So it's like, I don't have to cook it. I don't have to clean up. Which, by the way, Fire Disc, it's really super easy to clean. But big, big thanks and Lifesaver Award to our friends from Fire Disc. By the way, you can go to their website. I think it's firediscookers.com. I should look that up. If you just type in Fire Disc Cookers, I think you'll find it. But I think it's Fire Disc Cookers. They have a Camp Hope Fire Disc that comes with a couple of different utensils that come along with that. And part of the proceeds come to the PTSD Foundation of America. So you get an awesome outdoor cooking utensil that you can take anywhere if you like to go tailgating, because Zach doesn't like football, but you do because you're an American. you can take that with you. It's super easy to carry around, super easy to clean up, pack back up, put it back in the back of the truck, and head on in to watch the football game. Fire Disc Cookers, big thanks to them. The Star Chapter of the National Cherry League donated a bunch of cards. We really encourage our guys, give them many opportunities to write some thank you notes.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people doing different things, so we thank Star Chapter of NCL for providing those. Suzanne Swiderski, heard her name before, donated some sweatpants and sweatshirts. We might need them in about 3 more months.
For about a week.
Yeah, for a week.
Well, this weekend's nice. I mean,
yes.
It's not awful.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
But I know anything below 90, and the humidity below 90. Yeah.
Texans get excited over a cold front. That means it's going to be high of 80s.
Yeah, cold front means yay, temperature front might drop 2 degrees.
Yay!
But fun. Big thanks. They will be put to use. The guys will enjoy those. Then Jerry Catrone donated some toiletries, and we are thankful. When people do these kind of things, it helps us take care of our vets without having to spend the dollar on those items that are needed. Big quick word for those who always ask, what are the biggest things that are needed right now? And that changes from week to week, but if you're listening to this live or relatively close through podcast, laundry detergent is something we could be using right now. Some dress shoes, sizes 8 to 13, running shoes, sizes 8 to 13. And polo style, the collared, like polo style shirts, we could use some of those. And let's see, peanut butter and jelly, which I could
never have too much peanut butter.
I like peanut butter and jelly. Absolutely. Big Lifesaver Awards to those folks. Okay, so you came home from the Army or from Tikrit in what year?
2008.
And When did you get out of the Army?
Shortly after that. I came back, you know, some of the things I saw over there training civilians, you know, I kind of had a little bit of resentment for the military. So I got into some bad habits and got out a little early.
I got you. So you're coming home, and it wasn't obviously a good experience getting out of the military and coming home. Some resentments, as you already mentioned, with those in the military. You come back home to a civilian world that, I don't know, a lot of craziness going on in our civilian world for some reason. What happened when you came home?
You know, for me personally, when I came home, it just seemed like I didn't have that sense of purpose anymore. You know, you get promoted, you get medals in Iraq, you know, you do well, you go to the boards, you get, you know, like I said, promoted. You do well, you get the attaboys. You come back, there's not that organization anymore. Civilians don't have that strict organization like we had in the military. Sometimes it seems sloppy, and you can't address civilians like you do in the military. You know, you have to be assertive. You can't be aggressive. Yeah. They don't tend to like it when you jump on them and say, hey, you know, you're a real piece of trash. You know what I mean? Clean
get
yourself
it together.
Up. Yeah, get it together. Well, really, honestly, it just seems like I feel like we need to have a better transition sometimes. You know, you're going from, you know, muscle memory to just sloppiness, it seems like, you know, and you got to adjust to that.
Ramon, he just called us sloppy.
Yeah, I felt that.
Mm-hmm. You should. It's the truth.
I meant it in the best way possible.
No, you didn't. It's okay. This is an honest program. We're allowed to tell the truth.
Yeah, you're right.
So you get out. It wasn't an easy transition. Things were hard. Adjusting to civilian life is not easy for those of us in the military. And you said something that I kind of want to dig into, because I hear it a lot with myself as well. You said you lost your sense of purpose, your sense of identity. So when did things start to go bad to the point that you knew you needed a program like Camp Hope?
I think it was a gradual decline, because, you know, at first I turned into a functional alcoholic. I was already had some injuries in the military, getting pain meds, so then I started turning into a functional addict. I really don't like the term functional, because there's no functional in any type of addiction.
Yeah.
But, you know, it got to the point where I have children. I wasn't spending time with them. You know, I was going through job to job because I couldn't deal with civilians. You know, I couldn't deal with the lack of structure. And, you know, you don't get the, like I said, the promotions, the reward that you get from being in the military. So it got to the point, you know, after, let's see, I get out 2009. About 2020 is when I went to my first program. I started realizing that I need to go to a program, several detoxes, going to my first program. But, you know, I'd always want to go around the outside issues and not deal with the PTSD, because
you get diagnosed by the Army or the VA?
I got diagnosed by the VA here in Texas.
Here in Texas after you came over. Okay, I got it. All right, so we'll continue on with Corey's story here in just a moment. The website again for more information on our programs, PTSDUSA.org.
Georgia, the whole day through.
It's a shame that fella didn't learn how to sing. Man,
yeah.
I just love that sound.
That's his problem.
Yeah.
That sounds just.
Let that play for the next 3 minutes if you want.
That would be great. Although, I haven't thanked our sponsors yet, and they might have something to say about that. Big thank you to those who make it possible for us to spend this time with you every Sunday, or when you listen to your podcast, whenever that may be. And that's our friends at Jimmy Chonga's Fresh Mex Fun. Got to enjoy some of that this past week. We had some folks in to tour Camp Hope, and we brought in some wonderful, delicious Tex-Mex. The owner, Russell Ibarra, joined us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Did he eat?
You know, it was funny because he wasn't going to. And I kind of made him feel bad, I think, which now I feel bad about making him feel bad.
I've never seen him eat.
Jimmy Chung, I mean, his own food.
Yeah, it was right. It's like, it's your own food. You're going to eat it? Like, no. He said, but his deal was, I'm on a really strict diet right now. It's like, okay, cool.
That's understandable.
Yeah. And then I turn around a little while later. He was enjoying a little bit of. Then it was, well, I'm going to provide some feedback to the local. No, but it was great. Big, big thanks to our great friends at Jimmy Chung. The crazy thing is, I tried to eat as sensibly as I could. Mm-hmm. I had some fajita meat.
Can't do it.
Just the fajita meat, a little bit of the grilled vegetables, and some pico. That's all I ate. I left the queso and the chips alone, which.
That's some true discipline.
I cried my heart out that night because, like, I had. Free queso free in front queso. Of me.
It's kind of sinful, I believe.
It probably is.
I don't think you're going to be on your deathbed one day and think, you know what?
Yeah, I saved my life. I lived 5 minutes longer because I didn't eat some of that.
I knew I should have eaten that queso. I'm going
to die anyway. Might as well die fat and happy. Yeah. It's kind of my deal. Big thanks to Jimmy Chung for supporting us. Corey, Diamonds and Design. Hey, look, don't go to the mall. Local store with national chain, buy something that 3,000 other people are going to get. When it's time to get something special for your someone special, that's Akori Diamonds and Design. They're working on something for me right now. You want something done particular, something
what are they
unique?
Working on?
I can't tell you.
Yes, you can.
It's not for you anyway, so just relax. Akori Diamond Design, 281-482-4755. Then, oops. Steam.com, because some of you Aggie fans spilled some things on the floor. I know you did when that field goal went through. I know you so just call them. Oopsteam.com, 822 or 81. I'll get it right. 281-822-0561. 281-822-0561. Oopsteam.com. That's the easiest way. You're going to use the internet anyway.
Just Google them.
Steam.com. Speaking of Google, you can Google birdies for PTSD Camp Hope. That is our friends at Meadowbrook Farms Golf Club. They are doing a big, big fundraising event. They've got a super cool. Have you seen that?
No.
A nice little firearm that you might want to look at my Facebook.
I did see that. I shared it. That was it's nice.
Mm-hmm. It's got our logo on there and a nice
American
gold
flag.
Color looks good.
Painted AR-15. It's gorgeous.
Meadowbrook Farms. It's October the 30th. It's a Saturday. It's coming up, but there's still a little bit of room left. If you'd like to come out and be a part of that, just Google birdies for Camp Hope, Meadowbrook Farms, or if you look on our Facebook page, Road to Hope Radio, I will have a link directly to the event. We would love to see you there. All right, a couple minutes left. Corey, talk about coming home. You went to some sort of program last year, right? That was the first time you went to a program?
That wasn't the first time I went to a program. It was the first time after deployment I went to a program.
Okay. So whatever that program was and to whatever degree it may have helped or didn't help at all, some more time passed. How did you hear about Camp Hope?
Well, I went back out to my addiction after that last program. I started isolating a lot, feeling like nobody understood me, you know. So I got to the point where I had to go to a detox again, and by God's will, you know, he took that pain away from me after a prayer. I said, I need to get out of Georgia. I need to be around veterans. I need to get to the core issue of the problem. I need to stop trying to hit the outlying problems because, you know, I'm just going to keep down this path until I'm dead or in jail for a long time. So, you know, I'd heard through this place called Laurelwood in Gainesville, Georgia, that Camp Hope was in Houston, Texas, that, you know, that Texas took care of their veterans in a first plane out.
What about Camp Hope would you say has had the most impact on you compared to all the other programs that you've gone through?
Well, I'd say three things. First of all, I'm around veterans. They understand me. Not only do they show compassion, they check me when I get out of hand. And that's a big thing. You know, that's kind of that structure the military had a little bit. Two, I believed in God, but I think I resented him. I didn't even know what the Holy Spirit was till I came to Camp Hope. CTHM taught me about the Holy Spirit, and once I accepted God, things really started to change in my mind and, you know, in my heart. Mm. And I'd say the third thing is obviously just getting me out of Georgia and bringing me to Texas. You know, I needed to get away from people, places, and things and start fresh, you know.
And we hear that a lot. So you mentioned the first thing being around vets. And that's the one thing that at Camp Hope, it had a huge impact on me as well, is that peer-to-peer mentorship, being around people who've experienced the same things we have, who've dealt with the same kind of struggles and trauma that we have. There's just something therapeutic and healing about that kind of environment, because ultimately, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it made me feel safe. It made me safe enough to be vulnerable and open and to talk about what it is that I was struggling with, because I knew I wasn't going to get judged. I was going to get help. I was going to get, you know, compassion from people who understood what I was going through. And for the first time in my life, I didn't feel like I was alone.
Yeah, I can agree with that, because, you know, civilians, you know, family and stuff, you come back and they look at you this way, like, you know, they see the old you. They don't understand that the mental stress and the physical and spiritual stress you go through going into combat. And you come back and they want you to be this person that you were before. And you get frustrated because you can't explain to them what you're going through, you know. But Camp Hope, you know, once you get, like you said, into that vulnerability and transparency and realize, hey, I'm not alone, that I can, you know, I can talk to people around me, you know, that's when the real healing starts. Mm.
So there's someone out there right now listening. It's probably a family member, but it might be the veteran, but probably a family member. And they're watching their loved one back and forth, the yo-yo kind of in and out of their addiction and in and out of doing better, doing worse. Or maybe they're just in a straight downhill. It's going dark fast. What would you say to that individual?
I would tell them, you know, I think me and Zach talked about this on the ride over here, you know, that you have to build a foundation and you have to have people around. You know, Pastor, as you preach, the devil likes us to isolate. He wants us to be alone, you know. We're vulnerable in a bad way when we're alone. When we have a support network, we can be vulnerable in a good way with groups of people, and we have support, you know. To get out of that addiction, to get out of that mindset, you have to seek help. You can't just isolate yourself and use substance use or any other addiction or, you know, codependency and think that you're going to get past it, because it'll never work.
Two is better than one, and a threefold cord is hard
to break.
If you don't have that in your life, find it, build it, do the work necessary to create that. If you're a veteran dealing with combat-related PTSD, we would love to be a part of that threefold cord in your life. Everything we do, absolutely free, because we will fight for you. We will. 877-717-7873 is the crisis line. If you are a veteran in crisis, know a veteran in crisis, have this in your phone. You never know when, man, I need, what was that number again? 877-717-7873. The website's PTSDUSA.org. Thanks for sharing some of your story today. Appreciate it, Corey. Zach, good to see you. Ramon, have a great rest of the day.
Thank you, sir.
Look forward to being with you again next week for more of Road to Hope Radio.